Twitchell's Book One, Dwindling Magic. Written and read by T.D. L. White. Chapter 23. Complications. Between schoolwork, prep, hacking, planning to take down a bank's systems, and worrying about rats and magical auctions, Nick didn't really notice what happened to the whole of Tuesday and most of Wednesday. For reasons that included his fear of rats and his lack of portal floating coordination, the decision had been made to leave him out of the meeting with Mrs. Moss in London. And that was fine by Nick. If things didn't go well in London, the gang decided they would corner Collier and persuade him to tell them exactly what he did with the book. Even Jenny, who was a proponent of not causing any trouble at Twitchell's, said she'd twist his arm. Nick wasn't sure if she meant it figuratively or literally. So, as lessons finished on Wednesday, Nick headed to the house common room for tea, and the other three disappeared into the study room. If things went well, James would collect Nick during dinner. As he ate a tangy cheese sandwich, Nick couldn't help remember the gang's last trip to London had ended with them tumbling out of the portal pursued by rats and ravens. He managed a little war driving during prep, picking up more 6 GHz networks. While he really wanted to do some proper network discovery, to see exactly what the 6 GHz network was being used for, he didn't want to risk himself being discovered in the process. Dinner was great, apart from the fact that James didn't show up to collect him. Nick waited until the dining hall completely emptied, then headed to the common room to wait for James there. Back in his favourite armchair, he watched the caretaker turn on the Wi-Fi and then made a snap decision to attempt a connection to the strongest 6 GHz network he could find, which was twit_door_h4, a network that he figured was used for door access. His phone buzzed when it automatically connected to the caretaker's Wi-Fi, but Nick ignored it. Within seconds, he'd started Brutifier going, hoping that the 6 GHz network password was a simple one. He risked a glance at the caretaker. As always, she was looking right at him. Good, he thought. If she was in here, then she wasn't sitting looking at an IDS console or whatever security systems she might have set up. After Brutifier had tried but failed, Nick disconnected and reconfigured his Wi-Fi to connect to the normal network. And then he checked his phone. Ignoring all the usual messages from his customers back in Luton, he went straight to his burner email account. There was a new message from Mrs. Moss, which contained a username and password for the Aramie auction site. The email had been sent just after 6 PM, which was an hour after the scheduled meeting in London. It looked like everything had gone to plan. So where was James? For the rest of Twitchell's Wi-Fi time, Nick tended to his gaming servers and replied to his customers. No point in losing a perfectly good revenue stream. He also called his mum and granddad, told him he missed them, and that he'd hopefully be back to visit soon. And that was true. He did miss them. A lot. He needed to speak to the gang again about getting back to Luton. James was waiting for him in his dorm room. I've been here about half an hour, just hanging around, James said. I didn't want to come and get you from the common room. Why not? Nick asked. I'll tell you when we get out of this place. Things are getting complicated. Nick thought for a moment. Next time, if you're late, just send a message. I'll always head to the common room after dinner to use the Wi-Fi, and I can check my phone then. Good point, James said. I tend to think of Twitchell's as a total black spot. Come on, let's go. He had his notebook out ready and drew the symbol fast. Nick barely had time to wrap his ID badge in foil and turn the light out before James grabbed him and floated him into Elf's garden. Good angle and height, Nick said, nodding approvingly. Hardly had to float at all. Yeah, this ink is just about perfect. Let's get inside and talk. I'm starving. James hurried up through the grass. Jenny had finished her dinner already. A greasy fish and chip paper was folded neatly in front of her, and there were two more unopened bundles in the middle of the table. Elf had made it through half a glass of wine. "Next time, I'll eat first, then go fetch Nick," James said, unwrapping the larger bundle and pushing a couple of chips into his mouth as he sat down. "Did you eat at Twitchell's?" Jenny asked Nick. "Yeah, and I got another email from Mrs. Moss with login details." "Ugh, Mrs. Moss," James said with his mouth full. "I thought that was a man on the phone, but it was a creepy old woman." "That was Mrs. Moss on the phone," Nick asked, then quickly added, "Are those spare?" He pointed at the other bundle of chips in the middle of the table. "Yes, we got them just in case. Tuck in if you're still hungry," Jenny said. Mrs. Moss was fine, just getting on a bit and not used to dealing with anyone under 50. By agreeing to sell the map through her, we got into the auction. "Yeah, the map did the trick," James said. "No way we're letting the key to the air or the other keys fall into some rich person's hands. Losing the map was bad enough. I like that map." "She had the portal book?" Nick asked, pulling the chips towards him and unwrapping a layer of paper. "Not in her office. Nothing magical in there at all, apart from the map we took with us," James said. "Is that why you were late back?" Nick reached for the ketchup and squeezed some out onto the paper. "No, it was because of the portal we used," James said. "We attracted a little attention on landing." Jenny coughed. "Well, maybe a lot of attention," James said. "We got arrested by soldiers," Elf said, "and locked in the Tower of London." Nick stopped dipping a chip in the ketchup. "You joking?" Elf and Jenny both shook their heads. "Yeah, but we were only 5 minutes late for our appointment," James said, "so it wasn't that bad." "Next time, we'll just rearrange the appointment and take the train," Jenny said. "But other than the inconvenience, we learned a few useful things." She didn't sound too upset with James, and while Nick ate chips, Jenny explained what had happened. They'd needed to get to central London, and they hadn't had much time. The first few portals James tried put them in plain view of at least 100 people in broad daylight. So, to avoid floating out of the sky into a crowded park or street, James had found a symbol that got them a bit of privacy. One that conjured a portal inside the battlements of the Tower of London. At this point, Jenny, James and Elf disagreed on the specifics of what happened. James thought that no one had seen them dropping between the high stone walls. Jenny thought that a beefeater had shouted at them. And Elf said she'd been too busy waving through a window at a small girl looking at the crown jewels to notice. Regardless, seconds after touchdown, they'd been surrounded by beefeaters in their dark blue uniforms. Apparently, landing in a not-open-to-the-public area without a valid ticket was an arrestable offence. Rather than being thrown out for sneaking in, which is what James figured should have happened, they were ushered into a small courtyard and told to wait. Just before they ran out of time and conjured a portal to escape, an old acquaintance had appeared. A raven called Merlina, whom the gang had met some years before, and who is intrigued as to why they were trespassing on the king's property. After a quick explanation about having to get to a meeting to have a chance of finding the portal book, and perhaps to find some clues about Elf's parents, the raven let them go on the promise that they would return afterwards for a proper talk. "The bird just let you go?" Nick asked. "Oh yeah." James had finished his food and was wiping ketchup off his fingers with a tissue. "We made it to the meeting with minutes to spare." "Seconds," Jenny said. "But after we persuaded Mrs. Moss to let us into the auction by putting the map up for sale, we met back up with Merlina to explain what was going on."
"She's a very serious bird," Elf said. "Important, too."
It turned out that Merlina was not just serious and important, but also knowledgeable about the goings-on in London and across the country. The bird said that they should keep away from the auction at all costs. It wasn't a safe place for anyone, human or animal. And while she was impressed to learn that they were all at Twitchell's, she said that that was even more of a reason not to attend the auction. "Wait," Nick said, "why does being at Twitchell's make it worse to attend the auction?"
"The inspector," Elf said. "Apparently he's got something planned for the auction."
"The inspector," Nick said. "What's he got to do with it?" "We couldn't get any more out of Merlina," James said. "She just said we shouldn't interfere with the inspector's work, especially outside the school." "She made it sound like it wasn't just the inspector, but more people at Twitchell's," Jenny said.
so we figured the caretaker might be in on it. But we don't know, and we don't want to give her any reason to suspect us. Makes sense if there's a cyber angle, Nick said. Makes me want to break into the 6 gigahertz network even more. The inspector is always playing games, Elf said. I got a bit of help from Mrs. Moss. I mean, she hadn't seen my parents since they disappeared, but she had a contact in Paris that she said she'd check with. Elf didn't sound hugely optimistic. I've already spent a long time in Paris looking for them before and got nowhere. I don't expect much, but at least it might be something. James and Jenny huddled around Nick's laptop as he set up a secure virtual machine to use to access the auction website. After using the login details from Mrs. Moss's email, he logged them into a rather boring, regular-looking website that contained information about the auction. Most of the details were already known to the others, but they read through the pages together. The auction was toward the end of October, over a month away, and would take place at the Royal Albert Hall. What, the actual Royal Albert Hall? Nick asked, opening a new browser tab and looking up the famous venue's website. Apparently, Jenny said. That's what Mrs. Moss said. The Albert Hall's website did not have any auctions in its event schedule. In fact, the evening of the auction was actually a concert for an orchestra to play through the music of an award-winning video game called Ancient Dragon Power. No mention of the auction, Nick said, but Ancient Dragon Power's a decent game, and it says here the crowd are encouraged to dress up for the occasion. Yeah, but not in dinner jackets and gowns, Jenny pointed out. It's fancy dress as characters from the game. Cosplay, James said, not fancy dress. Same thing, Jenny said. So the auction's on at the same time as the concert. I guess the Albert Hall's got plenty of space. Nick brought up the auction site again. On the page with the time, date and location, there was an instruction to dress accordingly. They scoured every other page and found listings for all of the magical and ancient items with pictures and descriptions. Most of them looked pretty dull. That the portal book? Nick asked, pointing at an image of an old leather-bound tome. Yeah, that's it, James sighed. And there's no way to get an early viewing. We check with Mrs. Moss. It's all on the night. Viewing and then bidding straight after. What's the book worth? Nick didn't think it looked like much. But if it was magic, that would surely raise its value. There were no prices listed for any of the items. Mrs. Moss said a lot, but we couldn't pin her down, Jenny said. She was good at avoiding questions about money, and about where the book was currently being stored. Doesn't matter, James said. It's ours, so we'll just have to steal it back. At least we know exactly where it will be, and we've got weeks to come up with a plan. For Nick, the weeks leading up to the auction were filled with lessons, prep, and, of course, a little hacking. He did speak to others about taking a trip back to Luton to visit his mum and granddad, and they agreed to help him. But there didn't seem to be time to organise it. First, there was the Swiss bank. It took him over a week to figure out their network and how they might be able to take it down for an hour. Even then, he couldn't be sure they could do it because it involved breaking into an actual bank and physically disconnecting several servers from the inside. Then there was the Norwegian passport job, which the others had decided they could do by stealing them out of hotel rooms. But as Jenny rightly pointed out, they couldn't just steal any passports. They had to make sure the owners of the passports would be the sort of people that would be able to cope without them. Nick had spent the best part of another week trying to hack into as many Brighton hotels as possible. On top of those tasks, he was still trying to make his way into the commercial geolocation server, the one outside of Twitchell's network that he believed that Collier had been getting the tracking data from. Plus, he'd started to look into whether there was a shared student record system between schools in order to help find other names from the watch list, other kids that James, Jenny and Elf wanted to talk to. So far, the Twitchell student record system didn't seem to be connected to any other schools. In fact, it didn't seem to be connected to any other system outside Twitchell's at all. It was while running more tests on the SSTag geolocator server that he made an alarming breakthrough. Since the discovery of the 6 GHz network around the school, Nick had been trying to figure out how the ID badge data was being transmitted from the server that he'd hacked into, that tracked the live locations of everyone, to the door network. But the SSTag server simply received the badge data and then did nothing else with it at all. Where was the connection to the doors? Where was the staff data? Teachers wore badges and could get through the doors, but they didn't show up at all on the server. All Nick could think of was that the commercial server, running in some company's data center, did have the teachers' data along with the students and was sending it straight to the door network. But then why bother with the internal SSTag geolocator server at all? It was while he was going backwards and forwards with this, and eating a particularly tasty apple pie in the dinner hall on Friday lunchtime, that the answer hit him. I don't think the Twitchell's network is real. What? James was prodding at his portion of apple pie with a fork. But that student location data was accurate, and aren't you running game servers on it? It's real in that way, Nick said, but not in any other way. It's too small and too simple, and the student record system is totally isolated from anywhere else. And it was too easy to get into. The caretaker's smart. They're running an ultra-modern 6 GHz wireless network everywhere. The network I'm messing around in uses decade-old systems. I mean, they all work properly, but it's nowhere near cutting edge. Then what's it for? Jenny asked. Why have it around at all? Maybe it's a legacy network and they've upgraded most of it, James said, still prodding his pie. Schools often have old systems. Maybe. Nick wasn't so sure. Enough tech talk, Elf said. We can chat later. Two teachers walked past and sat on the table behind them. Better get to next lesson, Jenny said. Everyone slowly began readying themselves for the afternoon of learning. James's apple pie stayed put on its plate. You going to eat that? Nick pointed at the pie. I'm not feeling great, James said. You can have it. Great. Nick scooped the slice up with one hand and ate it in two mouthfuls. It's not like you to leave dessert, Jenny said to James. Are you feeling all right? James shrugged it off. I'll be fine. Probably just need more sleep. Come on, let's get the afternoon over with. The afternoon's lessons dragged on, like they always seemed to do on Fridays. Nick didn't even get a chess break either. The inspector didn't show up for anyone's meetings. Prep would have dragged too, if Nick had been allowed to do more than a few minutes of it. He was just getting into an exercise with the chemistry teacher when Jenny hurried into the lab. Sorry, Miss Atkins, Jenny said politely, but the inspector asked me to fetch Nick. Really? Miss Atkins sounded disappointed. Go on then, Nick. I'll see you next week. Don't forget to look at that list of bonds. Nodding, Nick gathered his stuff and went with Jenny. We need to go right now, she said, walking fast. James isn't doing well. It's his blood. We thought about taking him back first, then coming back for you, but this is easier, and I don't think a few minutes will make much difference to him. Is he okay? Nick asked. No, but he will be once we get back to Brighton. This is the worst I've seen him. Once he's regained his strength, I think it's time to get one of those jobs done and see if we can contact the alchemist. Nick had been entertaining the idea that they might never actually get round to completing one of the alchemist's requests. Now, keeping pace with the determined girl, he started thinking that the weekend wouldn't be quite as fun as he'd hoped. This podcast was brought to you by me, T.D.L. White. I'll be reading a chapter a week until it's complete.